We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We've been kind of in this kind of mini series. It started to just come together. How many know we've been doing messages? One was "and not if." Last week, I don't even have it in front of me, but I'm going to tell you what this week is. It's "why, not how." Why, not how. When "and, not if." Now, not then, maybe. And now, why, not how. These are kind of obscure names to remember. But hopefully you're getting the takeaways and they're sticking with you. You know, how many know people are funny? You know somebody that's funny, maybe you're funny. The most funny are those that don't know they're funny, but they're funny. You know what I'm talking about. But people, we're kind of funny, but we can know something full well to be true, but sometimes second guess what we know to be true, and even ourselves for believing it sometimes. Have you ever experienced this? Because we don't understand everything under the sun. You're not God, I'm not God. Isn't that right? So because of that, we can often question what was seemingly elementary when something goes wrong. And have you ever known something to be true, but begin to question that truth because something or someone you respect challenged it? Of course, we've all experienced this in one way or another. Something that just obvious. It's obvious. And then challenge comes and we start to question what was obvious. I think when the world challenges truth, it's a healthy thing because it makes the one who believes they hold the truth have to reconsider why they believe it to be true. How many can understand that the more you understand why, the deeper the roots grow? The more you understand why, you know, and knowing is half the battle. Yo, Joe. You know, that was part of it back in the day. But listen, we have to, yeah, there's like two people that are like, oh, that's funny. Listen. See, when it comes to having to reconsider the things that you've always considered just obvious, it makes you dig deeper. And digging deeper is a good thing. You must go through the exercise of choosing to hold fast to what you believe or not. That's what is challenging in this ever-changing world. Rather than allowing the difference of ideas and healthy debate to allow truth to naturally rise to the top, we live in a shut-down, shut-up culture. What do they want? The natural culture wants silence of any form of disagreement or dissent from the world's narrative. Are you getting this? And it's incredibly similar to how the ruling class of Pharisees did all they could to silence Jesus 2,000 years ago. See, we think we're facing something new, but the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The word says if it happened once, it'll happen again. Unless he made a promise and he gave us a rainbow. Right? Today, I want to help the church understand life is about the why, not the how. It's about the why, not the how. If we stay focused on the why, we won't be shaken by the how. If we stay focused on the why, we won't be shaken by how I feel, how it looks, how they perceive it. We've got to focus on the why. So our why becomes the deep roots that hold fast regardless of how hard life hits, shakes, or quakes. I remember being shaken when I was abroad. For those that have been a part of the church, you know that I've done a lot of missionary work and there's a lot of focus on the nations because I believe that God, he wants us to take care of our backyard, but he also gave us something to sow seed into the nations. And so I remember being shaken when I was abroad. I didn't understand how I could be exactly where I was supposed to be, doing the exact thing I was called to do, yet I was experiencing what I felt was far from God's best for my life. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? The moment where you say, God, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. How can you allow this outcome to happen in my life? How can you allow this thing to happen over me? How can you allow this thing to happen within me? How can you allow this thing to happen? I'm doing exactly what you called me to do. I was ministering in Ukraine. I was speaking at a worship conference that had over 300 European churches represented. And I was headed to work after that in orphanages in the area. I remember pulling my back outs abroad. And if anyone has ever pulled their back out, they understand the misery that that is. They understand back problems kind of have their own their own level of unique pain. Let's put it that way. I knew I was supposed to be in Ukraine. I knew I didn't want to be in a Ukrainian hospital. Some understand that. I knew I was supposed to minister the word, but how could God allow this to happen to me while on mission for him? Has anyone ever had that thought? To have to go through such pain and such frustration. Look, I was with a couple other of our pastors from our collective that were all involved in doing this together, and I had them lay hands on me. I had them pray. My expectations were not met. The healing did not come. Can I tell you, just because we expect God to do something does not mean that's how God's going to do it. And just because God doesn't meet my expectations does not mean he forsakes me. And just because my expectations are not seen the way that I want them to be seen does not mean God forgot me. It doesn't mean he failed me. It means I don't understand what I wish I understood. I remember falling one morning, trying to get out of bed, laying in agony face down on the hotel floor and questioning the most elementary truths of my faith. My faith was being tested heavily. And you know what it did? It reminded me of the word, because the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance that which we know. If you want the Holy Spirit active in your life to help you, get the word in you so it can bring to remembrance the thing that is important in that moment. It cannot bring to remembrance what you do not know. Okay? So as I'm laying on this floor in agony, woe is me, having an Eeyore moment, questioning all of the things that I've ever believed, the Holy Spirit brought Job back to my life. Brought back these thoughts. And if you don't understand Job's life, you want to feel better about your life, read Job. Everyone's like, is that the book of Job? Same one. Look at the story tells us of a man who did nothing to incur such hardship, yet how things look never altered the why behind his faith. After all sorts of disasters that killed his flock, killed his children, and even after he was touched by disease, he remembered the why. The why he ever believed in God in the first place. The why he ever had a thought towards God. The why, not the how things looked, not the how things felt, not the how that he was going through in the moment. He remembered the why. Job 1:20 and 21 says this: at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. That was a hard moment to remember when I was laying on the hotel floor, knowing I was supposed to be preaching that night, knowing that I was supposed to have enough faith to supposedly see God heal myself so I could walk in power through that mission field. Knowing that things were supposed to look differently. How could God be doing these things? How could God be in it if I was experiencing these things? But it was the why that made me decide not to catch a flight home, but to continue. And in the same way, here's the thing. Everyone wants to be a Christian when they think it's going to get them out of life's problems. Everyone wants to be a Christian when they realize they don't have to go to hell. Pretty good one. I want to hang on to that IOU. Listen, everyone wants to be a Christian, and then when they are a Christian and realize they experience hard things, they go, this doesn't work. Or maybe my opinion was never accurate. Maybe my expectations weren't accurate. Because when I read Job and he says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, and may the name of the Lord be praised. It makes me wonder how well I'm praising in my bad moments, in my hard moments, in my struggle moments, in my pandemic seasons, in my dog died moments, in my family struggles, when people die that I prayed for healing. God, where are you? How can you be active if it looks like this? I think it's quiet in here because everyone understands what I'm talking about. I remember thinking, battling on that Mercure hotel room floor, thinking, God, but I'm supposed to be this man of faith. How can I walk around this mission field with a limp? Then I started to remember all the people who walked with limps in the Bible and thought, I could be one of them. I could be put in the name category of one of them. That's okay. So I started to dig back into the why. I remember struggling. How could a man of faith go through something like this? Those who were close to him. And even when I think back to Job, I start to think of those that came to him, kept saying, well, Job, you must have sinned for this to have happened in your life. There must be a reason this is happening in your life. And Job's own wife told him to turn his back on God. It says in Job 2, 9 through 10, it says his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. How many are liking that encouragement from your spouse? He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? Oh, no one likes these scriptures. This does not work with my hope of the prosperity teaching somewhere, somehow. This doesn't help with all of the good I want in my life, but the reality is this. God is good regardless of what happens. God is good regardless of what happens. God is still God, and I am still not, and regardless of how it looks, I will not forget the why. I started believing what God has done in my life. If he never did, we say this, if he never did another thing, I'd spend the whole rest of my life glorifying him for what he did. And then the next thing that goes wrong, we go, where's God? Oh, it's praise and worship time. Hands in the pockets, not interested because God didn't show up to my birthday party. We got to remember the why, not the how. The how is what we see outside the window. The why is the deep-rooted reasoning behind why you ever said yes to Jesus in the first place. Job continued to be anchored by the why. Why he was ever blessed in the first place. The God that blessed him was still there. And in my situation, I felt these people would suspect I shouldn't have been on the trip, certainly not to preach and minister in power if I did not look powerful. Everyone was telling Job to curse God and die because of how things looked. I wanted, in my frustration, to turn it on God, but remembered if bad things could happen to a righteous man like Job, then who am I to complain how things look for me? See, listen. The big picture is always defined by the why, not the how. The big picture is always defined by the why, not the how. And why I was there had not changed. I knew I was supposed to be there. I knew I was supposed to be speaking that night, although I didn't know if I'd be able to sit on a stool. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew I was supposed to be there. I understood the why. And so, again, rather than flying home early or choosing to be admitted to a Ukrainian hospital, I chose to persevere through the pain. I continued the next 9 days ministering and walking miles, leaned over. Has anyone ever seen Weekend at Bernie's? That was my view for the next 9 days. But I did everything I was supposed to do. I still spoke of God's goodness when I felt like I wasn't experiencing it. I still spoke to those orphans about God's love, even though I was fighting my own struggles about how I could continue to have to walk through this if he loved me. Hello? Is this resonating? Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? I finished my ministry in Ukraine and then flew to Israel and continued the second part of ministry, assisting a new church plant in Tel Aviv and then filming what you would end up knowing is all of the recordings for our Shadow Step series. Trying to stand up straight enough for you not to notice how badly in pain I was during those 2-minute videos. And this isn't to pat myself on the back. It's to tell you that even pastors don't seem to get all their prayers answered. But it doesn't change the why regardless of the how. It does not change the why regardless of the how. I remember this simple principle, and I hope you remember this principle too. Fighting the good fight only takes place when pain and disappointment hit back. Everyone thinks they're fighting the good fight when everything's going right. You haven't begun the fight until things start going wrong. That's when you start fighting for everything you know. That's when you're fighting for the why, regardless of the how. When things get tough. The key is remembering the why in which we hold fast to God's word. It is that which sustains us regardless of how life looks or feels. So remembering the word reminds us of the why, and the why will hold us regardless of the how. I'm just trying to help you get this. So the key to unshakable faith is anchoring your hope in the why. So I'm going to give you some scripture today to help you understand why you should be anchoring your hope. You ready for number one? Why hold fast to our confession? That's a question we should all be asking. Why hold fast? And when we dig into Hebrews 4, it says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. The faith you confessed, hold firm to that. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Regardless of the how, he stayed with the why. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Look, regardless of how messy life gets or how much something hurts, Jesus understands and even empathizes with us. If he was able to understand our struggles and still overcome them, we should hold fast to knowing he will be our help. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through some stuff. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. Doesn't mean it's not going to leave you with questions. But our God, he empathizes with us. He sent his own son to walk the walk so that when he talked the talk, we would have something to actually look back on how to walk it through. We have a God that empathizes with us. He understands the how. God knows how you feel. But he's also showing you how to step through it and walk through it and be able to persevere. So remember why we hold fast. Number two, why hold fast to our salvation? Okay, when the world challenges my faith, I've got to remember why. In Hebrews 10, 9 and 10, it says, then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Say once and for all. So because Jesus came and fulfilled the will of God, his Father, himself, the Trinity is one, yes? He fulfilled it. And we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus once and for all. So what that tells me is I can continue, regardless of how I feel, continue to remember the why of why I can hold fast to salvation. It was once and for all. Look, you're not going to be perfect. But every day you should get up and say, God, I need your help to do better. And to do better means to say no to things you used to be okay saying yes with. And sometimes, know what that looks like? It looks like you said no to it over here, but look at you went from saying yes to it without a problem to saying yes to it with a problem. And that's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's active in your life. You know it's wrong, yet you still do it. And then it shifts to saying no to it even though you still want to. And now you're saying no to it just because you know you're not supposed to, not because the desire isn't there, but the Holy Spirit is active in your life, and that's why you're being able to say no in the first place. In fact, he's the one not only enabling you, he's the one speaking through you. Because you ever say one of those, no, nope, no way am I going to do that. There's a progression in your life. But understanding, look, God, I just want to be better than I was yesterday. I want to wear you well today. Are you with me, church? Remember why, not how it seems to be going, but why you ever started. Number three, why hold fast to God's word for our faith? Hold fast to the word for the sake of faith. Look what it says in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, through the word of God. Some people say, man, my faith is taking a hit. I can't stir it up like I used to. But they also haven't opened their Bible in 3 months. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing from the Word of God. I'm going to hold on to God's Word because I know it sustains me. Look what it says in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you are not building the spiritual muscles with the Word of God, it's no wonder why anemic Christians fall. They think that just saying yes to Jesus was enough to sustain them a lifetime, rather than saying yes to Jesus daily by opening the Word and saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me, because you already know what I'm going to be going through today, and I need you to fill me now with what I need. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold fast to the Word of God. Even sometimes when I find myself on a hotel floor and it seems like it's just not working, I got to remember the why. Man, I'm so thankful God gave us so many stories in the Bible that show me my predicament in the moments, to know that He's still good even when I can't see it, to know that He's still faithful even though I feel forgotten. Because I know that my story isn't over. And I knew that there would be a plot twist that would come out of what I was dealing with in the moment. And there was. I know that when I came home from that trip, I was home for maybe 2 hours from the airport and had to get in the car, and my wife had to bring me directly to the hospital. And they put me in, and they didn't understand how bad the back could create this. They were having to put me on all sorts of, they called it the nuclear option. It was just a cocktail to try and get rid of the pain. And they said, this happens when you don't rest when you know something's wrong. And I wanted to be like, Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a season for everything. And I just happened to be in the mission field, okay? And so the point was this. After it was all said and done, I still couldn't explain why I went through it. But what I know is that when all those videos played and all those people were saved on the back of that shadow step, when I see all these kids in an orphanage with a smile, all of a sudden the stuff that I used to just feel so upset about, the how I had to go through that trip, didn't matter anymore. The why it happened and all of the other stuff that came from it, the good that came from it, I just realized it's just part of my story. I realized God was with me all along. Probably getting a chuckle out of the weekend at Bernie's walk the whole time. But I'll tell you this, I don't know why God allows some things into our life. But I know we can't be so narrow-minded to think that He's forgotten about us and that this is the end-all be-all of everything I've ever known or believed. Somebody today needs to know that you are going through something where you feel like God has forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. You're in a dark chapter, but your story's not over. Just keep pursuing God. Keep reaching out, keep seeking, keep praying. The Bible says sow seed in the morning and in the evening because you don't know which one's going to sprout. Don't give up. Keep pursuing. Are you getting this, church? If you're not building those spiritual muscles, you're going to become an anemic Christian. Number four, why continue to gather? This is a big deal. On the back of pandemic, so many people are comfortable with church at home and church whenever they get around to it. There's a principle that you need to hear. I know I'm kind of speaking to the choir here in the 9:45 experience that has literally come to the first service offered this week. But there's a principle of firsts. God gets my first, not my when I get around to it. I want to challenge you, if you're at home right now and you're online and you're live with us, I applaud you, the fact that you made it a first kind of thing. I want to encourage you, don't make it a whenever I get around to it during the week kind of thing, because what does that say about your relationship with God? Why continue to gather? Remember, we're talking about the whys. Hebrews 10 tells us this in verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Some are in the habit of giving it up. Some are in the habit of not gathering any longer. There was a reason. We had a pandemic. The doors were closed. We had to go online. There are serious health considerations and there are underlying conditions, and I don't disregard any of that. I understand it, don't we, church? This pandemic continues to roll back, though, and I continue to see a light at the end of the tunnel, as you do as well, right? You will begin to question whether it's worth going back to church. You're thinking, isn't online enough? No. No, because in that first part of that scripture, it says, spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. How do we spur one another on when we see nobody? I'm telling you, gathering is not an old idea. It's the why behind God's house. Elementary things you knew to be true are now being questioned by comfort and a new habit. The scripture said some men were in the habit of doing. They had made it a habit not to gather any longer. Many have enjoyed non-peoply experiences. Many prefer watching in the PJs while you can scroll on your phone during the boring parts. Too real? It's as if God doesn't see it or something. Has this season we have been forced to live in changed the why? How things have looked, has it changed the why? Has it changed what we know to be true? No, the truth is the same. But we must focus more on the why and not how we are feeling towards the why. We're thankful for technology, but there's nothing like gathering together in God's house. Listen, if you're going to eat out, if you're going back to the gym, if you are back to work in person, if you spend an hour walking past strangers in the grocery store, if your kids are back in school, if they're back in childcare, it's time to come back to church. This is a pastoral challenge, is what it is. Don't allow God's house to be the last piece of the puzzle in reattaining normalcy in your life. It would confirm God's placement at the back of the line in the order of your life. Just keep that on the screen for a minute. Because at some point, you're going to have to deal with God. There was a pandemic. It is rolling back. There are real reasons why some can't come back right now. I understand that. But we must activate faith in our walk, not just in our word. It must be partnered with wisdom and prudence, but there are many who claim it's not wise to go back to church, but the other places they go and the other activities they do are part of the screaming hypocrisy and their life. Some still have very real reasons why they can't come back, and that's okay. If you want to wait to go and get a vaccine first, that's okay, but they are beginning to roll out. Listen, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and church is not something that is optional. Gathering is not something that's old-fashioned. Technology, thank God for it, but it is not the same. It is not the same. So I want to encourage you. If you're waiting for that vaccine, mark it on the calendar when you know it's available, and be back in church the next Sunday. If you're not intending on getting the vaccine but not coming to church, stop playing the game. God didn't offer an option to gather. He said, don't neglect it. Stop dragging in your spiritual slippers. That's the way I look at it. It's time to get back in the house of God. So here's a question to consider. Has a season of self-protection turned into subconscious apathy towards the house of God? And only you can answer that. So let us not neglect meeting together as some have the habit of doing. We must break the habit of neglecting gathering. Church, the church was not man's idea, it was God's idea. Jesus himself said, I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I tell you, if you want a fortified wall in your life, be a part of the thing that God's building. Because what I know is that when I'm part of the church, he's not going to prevail against me either. The devil is not going to. I might have some of those how moments. How is this happening, God? I don't understand why this is happening. But he hasn't forsaken me. I always remember the why. And I have more of this message that's going to have to come next week because we're out of time. But what I do want to tell you is that God loves you so much and he has not forgotten about you, regardless of what you're going through in the moments. Know that God loves you, he's for you, but your expectations are not God.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.